Hey there, and welcome to Music in Time on WGXC. I'm your host and DJ, Evan McCormick. Music in Time is my show on WGXC that explores the connections between music and the history happening around that music. Usually, we take one album and we explore its connection to its context. But other times, especially around the holidays, we take a historical road trip, a sonic time travel trip, if you will, zooming through some of the different periods where we can explore the connection between music and moments in more ephemeral ways. And today we're thinking about the turning of the calendar, New Year's Eve. If you're like me, the holidays are in the rearview. This is a time for looking forward to what's ahead while also taking stock of what we've left behind. What role does music play in setting the tone for that? To answer that question, we'll check in at some particularly notable New Year's Eves in history to see what folks were listening to and how it connected to what was going on around them. And our first stop is late December 1963, when many Americans were thinking about the weather, just like this week. That's because on New Year's Eve that year, a massive snowstorm hit the southeast United States, dumping almost half a foot of snow on New Orleans and throughout Alabama and Tennessee. So in honor of the snowy South's 1963 New Year's Eve blizzard, here's Doc Watson and Gene Ritchie's The Storms Are on the Ocean, which came out on Live at Folk City, released in December 1963, and The Kingsmen's Louie Louie, released on their debut album, The Kingsmen in Person, which came out just days before that storm hit, which you might have been listening to as you were weathering the storm, if you didn't lose power, that is.
I'm going away for to leave you, love. I'm going away for a while. But I'll return to you sometime if I go 10,000 miles.
The storms are on the ocean. The heavens may cease to be. This world may lose its motion.
Bye.
This is Music in Time on WGXC. I'm your host, Evan McCormick, and we've just gotten started on our musical historical road trip through New Year's Eve's past. The premise of this show is that music and the way people hear that music is framed by historical events. And as we take stock of what has happened over the past year, I believe that power is intensified. So let's stop at a year where that was certainly the case, 1968. It was a year of turmoil and tension, the height of the Vietnam War. In 1968, Americans had witnessed Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination in April and the killing of Robert F. Kennedy in June. In August, there was the bloody crackdown and protests at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. After Lyndon Johnson publicly announced he would not seek re-election, Richard Nixon went on to become the next president of the United States, being elected in November. It was also, globally, the year of the Prague Spring, when reforms in Czechoslovakia led to an invasion and crackdown by the Soviet Union and Warsaw Pact countries. In short, the end of 1968 would have been a time for reckoning with a year of painful history. And I think it's impossible not to hear some of that reflected in the music that came out in the final weeks of the year. Here are two ways to hear that. Taj Mahal's anguished personal take on loss in You Don't Miss Your Water Till Your Well Runs Dry off the album Natural Blues. But first, it's a more meta take on the direction of the world, Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones off Beggar's Banquet, released on December 6th, 1968.
When I saw it was a time for a change, you left me. Kept you crying, darling, so sad and blue. You knew all the time I was a playboy, and I just would not be true. But when you left me, was the way you said goodbye. And now I miss my water. I miss my water. I miss my water with you. And you know my will run dry. I sit and I wonder, woman. Oh,
'68 was a year when there seemed to be just so much history loaded into the grooves of the records that were released in December of that fateful year. But there are other times when a single event can frame the listening public's consciousness of what is happening in the world. Maybe it's an election, or a war, or a pandemic. But in 1980, it was a tragic death. The killing of John Lennon on December 8th, 1980 in New York City cast a shadow over the music-loving world just as New Year's was approaching. And in this case, we have evidence that the tragic event affected the way people listen to music. Lennon had just released the album Double Fantasy in October of 1980, after a five-year absence from the airwaves. And the first single off that album, Just Like Starting Over, was meant to commemorate his return. But after Lennon's death, the song became something else, an elegy for the musician's memory. Fans' love for the song soon pushed it to number one on US and UK charts in late December. It was a melancholic marker for what was being left behind as the calendar turned to 1981.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. My no time flies so quickly. Special.
said, my, flash is fast, flash is cool, Francois, c'est pas, flash ain't no duke, and you don't stop, sure shot, go out to the parking lot, and you get in your car, and drive real far, and you drive all night, and then you see a light, and it comes right down, and lands on the ground, and out comes a man from Mars, and you try to run, but he's got a gun, and he shoots you dead, and he eats your head, and then you're in the man from Mars, you go out.
That was Blondie's Rapture, and before that, John Lennon's Just Like Starting Over. Two songs released in the weeks just before New Year's in 1980, with different sentiments emanating from New York City layered within. This is Music in Time on WGXC, and I'm your host, Evan McCormick. Today, we are taking a musical historical road trip to some moments in the past where what was happening in the world might have framed the way listeners heard what they were listening to. And we're focused on New Year's Eve in particular. Our next stop is New Year's Eve 1989, when world events were once again on the front pages and likely on the minds of people young and old who were spinning records. It was the end of the Cold War. Although the end of the Cold War is a much longer historical process, the end of 1989 really felt like the dawn of a new era. It was in November of 1989 that the Berlin Wall, separating East and West Berlin and East and West Germany, came down. And in December, U.S. President George H.W. Bush met with Mikhail Gorbachev from the Soviet Union in Malta, where the two together declared an end to the Cold War. It's always struck me as so interesting that these world events track with the beginning of what I think of as the grunge or alternative music era in the United States, as if the anxieties of nuclear standoff of the previous decades just quickly gave way to a discontent and angst in the triumphant Western system. But man, was it creative gold. I've got two tunes for you from EPs that were released in December of 1989. Just as East and West Berliners were celebrating New Year's together freely for the first time since 1961, I'm instead looking at the Seattle grunge scene. It's the Screaming Trees with Change Has Come and Nirvana's Been a Son.
We'll be right back.
What New Year's Eve historical road trip would be complete without a stop in 1999, the millennium? And Y2K? Do you remember Y2K? If not, you should be thankful, because depending on who you ask, that year, the human race narrowly avoided a serious global social breakdown, all caused by a tech glitch. I'll give you the brief story. So during the 20th century and the advent of computing, programmers had been using two-digit numbers as a shortcut for years. With the coming of the millennium, however, this shorthand threatened to revert computer systems back to 1900 rather than turning to 2000. This would have wreaked havoc on banking systems, on electrical systems. I'm old enough to remember the apocalyptic scenarios that were being bandied about and the sense of tension in the lead up to New Year's Eve that year. But, spoiler alert, nothing much happened. Now, there's lots of great writing about Y2K that you can check out online. And, you know, there were some minor glitches here and there, but thanks to those same programmers and coders, disaster was avoided. Still, if you listen to the music from late 1999, at least for me, it's hard not to hear some of the soul-searching that came with the advent of the digital age. Not just about technology per se, but about the way humans find meaning in a world that relies on technology. You know, the turning of the millennium will do that to you. Take, for example, David Bowie's Hours, an album innately about time, but also Bowie's connections with his fans through this new thing, the internet. The album was released via his website in addition to being available in stores. Or Amy Mann's work from the Magnolia soundtrack released in December of 1999. So I've got Bowie's Seven and Mann's cover of One for you. But I've also got a special treat. It's the Blue Man Group. Yes, that Blue Man Group. With their song Utney Wireman from the studio album Audio, released in December of 1999. I could probably say something smart about the Blue Man Group's performance art as an exploration of technological anxiety. I'm just going to let you fill in that blank yourself and say here that there was no other time that this music could have been released to a more appropriate historical moment than in the weeks leading up to Y2K.
I forgot what he said. I forgot what my mother said as we lay on your bed. A city full of flowers, a city full of rain. I got 7 days to live my life, or 7 ways to die. I forgot what my brother said. I forgot what he said. I don't regret anything at all. I remember how we were on a bridge of violent people. I was small enough to cry. I got 7 days to live my life, or 7 ways to die. Hold my face before you, still my trembling heart. 7 days is to live my life, or 7 ways to die. Listen to the shadows, I play among their graves.
was never broken. My patience never tried. I got 7 days to live my life, or 7 ways to die. 7 days to live my life, or 7 ways to die.
Number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yeah. It's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know.
Number much worse than two. One is the number two.
If this show has a thesis, it's this. It's that history, the events happening around us, always frames the way we hear music. Music never just stands alone, but the events that are going on shape the way that we think about what we're listening to and the way we remember it. And really, when are we more aware of the passing of time itself than at the end of the year? As we think about new directions, new resolutions, our future selves, but also memories of the year before, what we've endured, what we leave behind. That connection between music and time, I think, is especially powerful in these final days of the waning year. Or, you know, maybe we just think about the weather. We started this trip in 1963 with a snowstorm, and that's where we're ending it, in 2010, with another snowstorm, a rare phenomenon you might remember if you lived through it called thundersnow that battered the mid-Atlantic and Northeast. That December, the band Gorillaz released an album called The Fall, which had been recorded by Damon Albarn and his collaborators on an iPad as the band was touring through different American cities the previous year. This song was recorded in Camden, New Jersey, and Fairfax, Virginia, which were thoroughly in the midst of thundersnow when the album hit shelves on December 25th, 2010. Here's Hillbilly Man by Gorillaz. That's all for this episode of Music in Time. I hope you've enjoyed this sonic time travel trip for the New Year's holiday. I'm your host, Evan McCormick. I'll be back on the fourth Wednesday of January, returning to our regular format, exploring a particular album and its historical context. Until then, Happy New Year, Auld Lang Syne, and all that jazz.